Elizabeth Elliot says, "I realize that I don't spend nearly enough time praising God. I think hymns are a wonderful help. So let me just make that tiny suggestion that you begin your day with thanking the Lord." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor, Keep a Quiet Heart, and Discipline the Glad Surrender. Helping you face your journey with joy today, here's your friend, Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today on the topic, Whatever My Lot. Taking my words from that familiar hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. And I closed yesterday's program by saying that the unexpected in our lives was expected by God, fully known, anticipated, and it fits somewhere, somehow, mysteriously into a pattern for good. Yes, it does. I'm sure that somebody's listening to me right now and they're saying, well, I sure would like Elizabeth Elliot to tell me how this could possibly fit into a pattern for good. And of course, you're asking of Elizabeth Elliot far more than Elizabeth Elliot knows. I don't know how the things in my life fit into God's pattern for good. Sometimes He gives us a glimpse. Sometimes we can see the ways in which there were many pieces of a pattern that we didn't know anything about when the thing happened, but God was working on. And it encourages us to know that the pieces do fit together ultimately. But He doesn't often give us clues like that. It takes faith to realize that the unexpected was expected by God. He knew about it from before the foundation of the world. He anticipated it, and He was indeed preparing us for it in ways of which we ourselves were not in the least conscious. And somewhere, somehow, sometime, that unexpected thing which God expected will be shown to have fit mysteriously into His pattern. Viktor Frankl, that brilliant Viennese psychiatrist who spent years in Nazi concentration camps, said that the philosopher and the lunatic have one thing in common. They imagine happiness can be obtained by furious pursuit. Both the philosopher and the lunatic imagine that happiness can be obtained by furious pursuit. And then both of them are likely to go into a rage at the unsatisfying results. Frankl's lessons in the concentration camp have great importance for us Christians. He did not claim to be even religious, let alone a Christian. He was, in fact, a Jew, but never admitted to being religious or even to believing in God. But he said this, which I'm sure is true. We are at every juncture questioned by life itself, by events which are God's, this is not Frankl now, I'm just adding this part, by events which are God's bright messengers. It's our temptation, isn't it, to question life, to question God, to question other people. But in the loneliness and solitude and deep, deep suffering of those concentration camps, Frankl learned that he was being questioned by life. What was his answer going to be? The great lesson that came to him, about which he wrote his book, The Search for the Meaning of Life, Man's Search for the Meaning of Life, was that there is one freedom of which a man can never be deprived, and that's the freedom to choose our attitudes. My dear friends, Jim and Lizzie, who at this writing are in the tremendous stress of chemotherapy for a very virile and advanced cancer that has struck Lizzie, And they have learned a great deal in just these few months about "It Is Well With My Soul." Jim wrote, "The assignment is so hard, but always there are the gracious gifts, the winks of heaven." I love that little phrase, the winks of heaven. A friend stopping by, a plumber coming at the right moment. Are they coincidences? No, not to the one with the eyes of faith. Now there's a man, my friend, Jim O'Donnell, who is daily proving the faithfulness of God, the truth of Romans 12:2, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me read you the preceding verse. The first verse says, "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." The footnote says, "a reasonable act of worship." Offering your body as a living sacrifice, a reasonable act of worship. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And the old authorized version says, "good, acceptable, and perfect will." When I was writing the biography of Amy Carmichael, entitled A Chance to Die, we went to South India, and I was given the privilege of sitting in Amy Carmichael's bedroom, surrounded by her books, sitting at her writing table. And on the walls were a number of different scripture texts. The largest of all was those four words that came from that verse, Romans 12:2, good, acceptable, and perfect. She had had 20 years of incapacitation, of being confined to her room because of an accident when she was 63 years old. And she was never healed from that. And for those 20 years before she died, she had to learn daily that she must accept that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To love God is to love His will. That will entails for all of us some measure of suffering, an assigned portion, a cup. Now, there are many listening to me today that I'm sure would say, well, you know, I don't really know what suffering is about. I'm not suffering. I'm healthy. I have a job, or I go to school. I've got good parents. I've got friends. I've got a lot going for me. Why do you talk all the time about suffering? What in the world do you mean? Well, I'll give you a very broad definition. Suffering means wanting what you don't have. Now, you who would say that you're not really suffering pain, or you're suffering illness, or suffering the loss of a job, or loss of money, but you probably have something you don't want. Or maybe you want something you don't have. That's a form of suffering. A very small, shall we say, light measure indeed. But nevertheless, a portion which has been assigned to you by God. Maybe just some little thing in your life that you think is a real nuisance. Something that, shall we say, stresses you out or weirds you out, as I heard one young person say. Jesus asked that the cup be taken, that we be willing to drink of however light or small measure there might be in the cup of suffering for us. Let's not overlook the possibility that in those little things, which really don't seem to amount to very much, and you would never use the word suffering for them, but the little nuisances, the little trials, the little things that don't go right in your life, God is actually offering to you a lot, an apportionment, a cup which He's asking you to drink that may not be very difficult. and yet you never even thought of accepting it. When Jesus was asked to accept the cup of suffering, he prayed that it might be taken away. But then he said, "If it is not your will, nevertheless, thy will be done." How could the cross be the will of God? Isaiah actually says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." How could cancer have anything to do with the will of God? How could that bombing in Oklahoma City in April of 1995 have anything to do with the will of God? We're not given the answers. We're told in Deuteronomy 29:29 that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And in Deuteronomy 32:4, we read, "He is the rock, his works are perfect, all his ways are just. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. Thou knowest what is best, and who but thee, O God, hath power to know? In thy great will my trusting heart shall rest. Beneath that will my humble head shall bow." Poem by T.C. Upham. And then these words, "To those who are his, all things are not only easy to be born, but even to be gladly chosen. Their will is united to that will which moves heaven and earth, which gives laws to angels and rules the courses of the world. It is a wonderful gift of God to man, of which we that know so little must needs speak little. To be at the center of that motion, where is everlasting rest, to be sheltered in the peace of God, even now to dwell in heaven where all hearts are stayed and all hopes fulfilled. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Can you keep a quiet heart? Can you say, "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul"?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.